He didn't say to her, okay, great, go get your life together and then come back to me and I'll give you the life-giving water. He didn't say, hey, go get all your sins taken care of and then come back to me and then I'll give you some life-giving water. He's like, I'm going to give you life-giving water right where you are at, because that's how God meets us. Joseph was a Maasai warrior, and he was walking through the jungle, and he came down this dusty road, and he came upon a man, and the man began to talk to him and began to share Jesus with him. And he started feeling the stirring in his heart, and the man began to talk and talk and talk until he finally surrendered. Joseph surrendered his life to Jesus. His life was totally transformed. He was so burdened, he started learning a little bit about the Bible, whatever he could do, because he was very remote where he was at. And he decided, I really need to tell my village, the village I grew up in, about Jesus. So he went back to the village, and he stood in the village and gathered all the tribes people around him, and he says, I want to tell you about Jesus, that Jesus, there's a real God, and his name is Jesus, and he died on the cross for you. And if you would just put your faith in him, you'll be saved. And the tribe became so enraged, they began to beat him with barbed wire. Until he became unconscious. They drug him by the feet out into the field, and they left him for dead. Sometime later, Joseph woke up, and he was able to stand up, amazed that he was still alive, bleeding from major lacerations all over his body. He was able to get to a place where he was able to nurse his wounds, and he began to think, what did I do wrong? Maybe I didn't say it right. Maybe I wasn't correct in what I was supposed to tell them. So he started to rethink about what the man on the road had told him and how God had stirred in his heart, and said, I'm going to go back. And he rehearsed what he was going to say, so I'm going to go back. So he goes back to his village again, and he gets everybody around, and he says, I want to tell you about Jesus, that he came and he died on the cross for you, and there's a real God, and if you just put your faith in him, you'll be saved. And they became so enraged, they got barbed wire out, and they beat him again, ripping up all the same wounds that he had been nursing before. They grabbed him again, and they drug him out into the jungle and left him for dead. It was a miracle he survived the first time, but the second time he woke up. He doesn't know how long later, but he woke up, and he's able to get a little drink from the stream he was near and nurse himself to the point where he could actually get back up on his feet and walk. And he gets some help, and he starts nursing his wounds. And again, in his mind, he's like, what did I do wrong? Maybe I didn't tell them right. Maybe I didn't say it the right way. So he starts thinking, and he starts praying, what should I have said? And he rehearses everything that the man on the road had told him about Jesus. And he says, I'm gonna tell them again. And so he goes back to his tribe again one more time, and he gathers everybody around, and he says, listen, I grew up in this village. I want you to know that there's a real God, and his name is Jesus, and he died on the cross for you, and he loves you, and he cares for you. And the village began to beat him with barbed wire again. And he still, as he was being beat, he says, listen, Jesus loves you, and if you would just give your life to him, you will be saved. And then everybody stopped, and the women began to weep, and the men began to weep, and Joseph passes out again. Sometime later, Joseph wakes up, and the same people who were beating him with barbed wire were nursing his wounds, and they began to say, listen, you were so compassionate and so loving, and God pierced our hearts too, and the whole tribe gave their lives to Jesus. It's a very true story, by the way. We're in a series today called Love Your Neighbor. What does it mean to love your neighbor? Jesus gave us this command in Scripture in John chapter 13. He says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciple. Joseph had such great love for his neighbor, for his tribe, for his village, that he kept going. Even in the face of harm, he showed his love to them and continued to profess Jesus Christ to them. That's love. Let me ask you this question this morning. If people were to evaluate your life and to look at your life and the way you act and the way you treat people, could they tell that you love and follow Jesus by the way you love other people? Would it be evident to them that you love Jesus by the way that you care and love for people? I hope so. I think that's what God wants from all of us, don't you? Today, as we continue the series, Love Your Neighbor, I want to talk about this morning, and that's this, what love does. Everyone say love. what love does, how does it play out in our life, how does it play out in real time? And to help us learn this morning, we're going to look at an account in the Bible that happened between Jesus and a Samaritan woman at a well. And it's a very impactful story. We aren't going to be able to read all of the story this morning. So the parts that we're going to miss, you're going to have to go and in your own Bible reading time. You should be reading your Bible. You're going to go have to fill those parts in. But let me just give you a little background. In that culture, in those days, Jews and Samaritans did not like each other. In fact, they hated each other. For a Jew to talk to a Samaritan would be like talking to a dog. They just did not care for those people. They argued about religion, way of life, who was God's chosen people, all of these things. So it was not good to talk to a Samaritan or be associated with a Samaritan at all, especially if it was a woman. Because women in that culture were not esteemed very highly at all either. And so as you think about that, I want you to think about it in regards to this story as we get into it. Jesus has done a lot of ministry. He's traveling to another place in for ministry. And as he's going, he has to pass through a place in Samaria where there's a lot of Samaritans. So in John chapter 4, we pick up the story. It says that Jesus was traveling. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some In-N-Out. You guys didn't know In-N-Out was all the way back there. That's why they have John 3:16 at the bottom of their cup, because they've been around a long time. Okay? And they all the way back then. So the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." What does love do? I want you to write this down. Love doesn't quit when it's tired. Love doesn't quit when it's tired. Who here has ever been tired? Okay. How many of you have just been really struggling for the faith to follow Jesus ever since the time changed? It's been so hard to get up in the morning. Raise your hand. It's been really hard to get up in the morning, okay? How many of you, has there been a ton of us in first service, how many of you, it's just, doesn't matter the time change, it's just hard for you to get up in the morning? You're like, "Oh God, Jesus, just take the wheel, take me home. I don't want to get up." Love doesn't quit when it's tired. I get it. We've all been tired. We all get weary. We all get downtrodden. I hear it all the time, especially like I even hear it in our serve teams, Pastor. I have been serving on the parking team once a month, every month for the past 3 months. And I'm exhausted. Do you have any idea how hard it is to do this? And with a smile on my face, I need a break. I need a break. Do you know what it's like to serve in Fusion Kids with everybody else's brats? The pressure is immense. I'm exhausted. How long have you been serving? Once. I can't handle it anymore. I've got a tick. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I need a break. I get it. We get tired. But here's what Jesus teaches us in his countenance, his demeanor, his readiness to do ministry. He doesn't quit when he's tired. He quits when the mission is done. And that should be the heart that you and I have, that we don't quit when we're tired. We quit when the mission is done. Love doesn't quit when it's tired. It keeps going and it keeps moving forward. And it says, "You know what? I'm done when the mission's done." Did you get that? I'm done when the mission's done. Jesus is exhausted. He's been doing a lot of ministry. They didn't have Uber. He had to walk everywhere. And we should have this heart that says, "You know what? I'm done when the mission's done." Love doesn't quit when it's tired. And the Bible says this in Galatians chapter 6. It says, "So let's not get tired at doing what is good." Don't get tired in doing what is good. It says, "At just the right time, you'll reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. Another translation says, if you don't quit, if you don't give up. So there's a promise in Scripture that says, listen, God doesn't ignore the fact that we get tired and weary sometimes. He's just not saying, hey, that's not, you know, part of it. It's part of it. He says, but let me tell you, don't grow weary when you're doing what is good, because in due time, you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. Love doesn't quit when it's tired. And that's what Jesus shows us here. He's exhausted, sitting by the wall. He could have easily said, oh man, this lame Samaritan woman coming out here, I'm just going to ignore her. She's somebody else's problem. I don't want to deal with her. I'm too exhausted. I just need a little nap right now, and I'm not going to deal with anybody. But that's not how Jesus does ministry. He quits when the mission is done. And we learn a great principle for that in our life. And do you ever think about this? God's never too tired for you. You ever get tired of somebody? Sometimes I get tired of me. Anybody else? Not that you're tired of me, but you're tired. Some of you got real excited. Amen, Pastor. It's the only time you've ever said amen in the history of the church. It was right then. We get tired. You ever just think about that for a minute? God's never too tired for you. And God shows this here in the story. He's never too tired for somebody who desperately needs him. For somebody who desperately needs to see the love of Christ in their life. Love doesn't quit when it's tired. What else does love do? Love doesn't assume that they know. Love doesn't assume that they know. Assume. I'm just going to let that word hang there for a minute, because we all know what it does. And I'm not allowed to say it from here. Love doesn't assume that they know. Watch what Jesus said to her. Remind you. If you only knew the gift God has for you, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. If you only knew. Jesus doesn't assume that she knows. He assumes that she doesn't. Now, of course, he's God. He knows all things. But it's a great principle for us to learn that we need to stop assuming that people know, and it's better to assume that they don't. I'd rather tell someone and they say, you know what, I already know Jesus. Awesome. Then tend to not say it, and they don't know Jesus, and I never told them. Many of you know, just a couple weeks ago, we had a life celebration for Sebastian, and he had passed away, and he's with Jesus now. And I remember preparing for the service. I had the honor of officiating the service, and I prepared for the service, and I specifically put in there an opportunity for people to be challenged about their relationship with God. And I asked people at the funeral, I said, I want you to evaluate your mortality. The fact that one day we're all going to die. And are you right with God? Do you know Jesus? Have you surrendered your life to him? Sebastian had given his life to Jesus. And I challenged the whole crowd there that was gathered that morning about Jesus. And about a week later, one of the men in the family and the service came out and said, Pastor, I got to tell you about the funeral service. And I said, well, what about it? He said, one of my best friends from childhood was there. And before, he didn't want anything to do with God. And I said, yeah. And he said, he gave his life to Jesus at the funeral. And now he wants to know about God, and he wants to learn. He's got all these questions. Never assume that they know. Assume that they don't. When you're loving someone, love them so much that you care about their eternity. And have the boldness to actually say, you know what? If you only knew the gift God has for you. If you only knew the promises God has for you. If you only knew the plan of God for your life. If you only knew the destiny God has for you. If you only knew how much Jesus loved you. And I assume that they don't, because I would rather that they do. That's what love does. And never assume that a moment is too insignificant or too awkward or too uncomfortable for you to be a person that love your neighbor so much that you actually tell them about the gift that God has for them, the plan that God has for them. Where's your next well water moment? Where's the moment God's going to use you, just like he used Jesus here at the well, that he's going to use you to speak into somebody's life who's broken and lost, who doesn't know what God has for them? Where's your next well water moment? Is it at work? Is it at lunch today after church? Is it among your family? Is it on social media? Where is the next time God's going to use you? And you've been assuming that they know, but God's telling you right now, start assuming that they don't and begin to tell people about me. That's what love does. That's what love does. And God was going to give him the life-giving water. And Jesus said this to her. Jesus replied, she's like, hey, I want some of this. And Jesus said, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them. That means it's supernatural, giving them eternal life. The lady's like, I want some of that. Who wouldn't want some of that? Yeah. She's like, I've been coming out to this well all the time. I've been getting water every single day by myself. I want something. I don't want to have to come back here every day. I want some of the life-giving water. And what you need to know, church, is this. People are craving the life-giving water that Jesus has. They just don't know it yet. Because God's put it within each of us, a desire and a want to know God. And some people are really good at rejecting it and walking in rebellion. But listen, when you start speaking Jesus, you're speaking the life-giving water that God wants to pour out onto their life. And God's going to use you to do that. So Jesus is pouring this life-giving water out on this poor woman who's desperate, alone, and without God. And watch what happens next. Because she's like, I want some of the water. And here's what Jesus, a little mic drop moment here. Jesus says, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. Stop right there. Could you just imagine the look on her face? I just wanted a drink of water. And this guy's blowing up her world. You've had five husbands, and you're living in immorality, shacking up with the guy you're not married to. This is like a brutal moment. And Jesus says, you certainly spoke the truth, because Jesus knows all truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worship? See, Samaritans and Jews fought about where the right place to worship was. It was kind of an argument among them. Jesus replied, the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. It wasn't so much the place, it was the heart. It wasn't the place, it was the heart. Spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. Looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Are you worshiping God in spirit and in truth? The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming. So she knows. Somehow she knew the Old Testament prophecies. Somehow she knew that there was a promise that the Messiah was coming. Somehow she knew the promise of God was coming at some point in the future. She says, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who's called the Christ. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. She knows. Maybe I don't have it right. Maybe the Jews don't have it. He's going to explain everything. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Total mic drop moment. Imagine just for a second this woman. And we learned so much about what love does, because love meets people where they are. Yeah. Here's this woman. She's walking down. Have you ever just stopped to consider why she's getting water at noon? It would have been customary for her to go to get water in the morning with all the other ladies in the village. But she goes at noon. That means that she's totally, utterly alone. She has no friends, no one to care for her. She walking at noon where no one can see her because she's living in shame. She's broken. She's been rejected time and time again. And now she's being used by another man. And she's got all these problems. She's like, I'm just going to go by myself at noon when no one else can see. And so she sneaks out probably for the 1,000th time, and she's walking down, living maybe the same village she's grown up with, and she's got five ex-husbands and this guy on the side, and she's carrying her water jar, and she's thinking, okay, finally I got a respite. I can just be alone for a minute. And as she's walking down the hill, she sees a little Jewish man standing next to the well, and she's like, oh, great. I just wanted to have some time for me. And then she gets there, and the guy has the audacity, hey, by the way, could you give me some water? It's like the guy on the couch that says, honey, can you bring me a drink from the fridge? And she's like, I can't believe this guy's asking me for water. And then he starts telling her about life-giving water. And then she's like, okay, well, I'll buy what you're selling. I want some life-giving water. And then he doesn't say, okay, here's how to get it. He says, go get your husband. And the look on her face is like, what? I don't have a husband. I've had five, but if that counts, not, I've got this other guy. And he's like reading her mail. Yeah. Yeah. But there was something about the way that Jesus spoke to her. There was something about the way that the Messiah talked to her that wasn't in condemnation, it wasn't in shame, but it was in love and compassion that met her right where she was. He didn't say to her, okay, great, go get your life together and then come back to me and I'll give you the life-giving water. He didn't say, hey, go get all your sins taken care of and then come back to me and then I'll give you some life-giving water. He's like, I'm going to give you life-giving water right where you are at. Because that's how God meets us. And that's how God has met each and every one of you, right where you're at. Aren't you so thankful that God doesn't require us to get our act together and then come back to Him? Because I'd still be trying to get my act together. Well, I'm still trying to get my act together, but love meets people where they are. It doesn't wait. God doesn't say, go fix yourself and then come back. God says, listen, I am the fix. Yeah. I am the water. Yeah. I am the solution and I am the answer. Yeah. And that's the wonderful thing that we learn about God. See, God didn't wait for her to get her act together. He loved her right where she was. But the great thing is that God loved her too much to leave her where she was. I'm not going to leave you just in this broken state of life where you feel rejected and abused and unwanted. I'm going to take you into a place that you never even thought possible. I'm going to pour out into you this life-giving water that's going to bubble up into this spring of life, welling up, Jesus said, into eternal life. And that's what God does when we begin to love people right where they're at, right where they are. Oftentimes we miss opportunities to love people where they are because we're too judgmental. Because we think they need to fit into our box. If anybody could have made anybody fit into a box, it was Jesus. And Jesus could have said to her, you don't fit into my box. But grace is a big box. Mercy is a big box. And it invites all people to come. So here's this woman walking down to the well, broken and ashamed and alone, and Jesus begins to read her mail, but something happens in her that changes her. Something happens that transforms her. Something happens in her that makes her feel loved and welcomed and accepted, and this compassion in her life and this mercy in her life that begin to overflow. Watch what she does next. The woman left her water jar. This is why she came. She left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village. She's running back to the place where all the people were rejecting her and she was feeling alone. She left her prior objective and she's now running back to the village. And she began to telling everyone, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Think about that. She was walking alone before, but now They're streaming from the village. It doesn't tell us everything she says, but it gives us a glimpse. Hey, he told me everything that I ever did. I'm sure she said more than that. I'm sure something happened within her that became so compassionate and so driven and so on fire for God that the woman who was once alone causes the whole village to stream out to see Jesus. God can do that in your life. And the whole village comes out. Many Samaritans from the village believed Jesus because of the woman. The woman had said, "He told me everything I ever did." When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves, now we know he is indeed the Savior of the world." All because Jesus wasn't too tired to do the ministry, didn't assume that they knew, met her where she was at, and all of a sudden this one woman changes revival in her village, and many people come to know Jesus. We believe he's the Savior of the world. That's loving your neighbor. And that's the challenge God gives us today as we think about our lives and we say, okay, how does God want me to love my neighbor? So let me ask you this. What well are you sitting at? All of us sit at a well. There's a place in which God has us that we have an opportunity to do ministry, to love our neighbor, to be able to care for our neighbor, to be able to, reach out to our neighbors so that they might know Jesus Christ. What well are you sitting at? For some of you, I would say you've probably been ignoring your well water moment. It's too awkward. It's too uncomfortable. Now's not the right time. I'll do it next time. But what if that one conversation could change a whole village? Like Joseph, who went back and went back and went back. Love drove him. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love each other.